Namo Devora Sanira Sunil Prima Mahabhar.
One is with full attention, with full intention, and with full attention, with full hope and trust to do a task, to carry out a job. And one is with no confidence, without any faith, without any yaqeen, with a broken heart, not much conviction, with not much of an intention to do a task, a job. So both conclusions will have a big difference. Both of those scenarios, the conclusions will have a big difference. So we can have an example of this. That if there's a person in any situation, he comes into a suspense, he comes into a bit of an issue, then the conclusion starts to get spoiled. So for example, somebody's driving a car. It happens regularly. Somebody's driving, traveling, gets a bit confused, not sure that, shall I stop here in the traffic or shall I come out of this route? Or there's a red light about to take, shall I just go through? And then his mind will give him the signal. Just give you an example here. His mind, his brain, everyday example. So just within a split second, he's got to make that decision. Yeah? So that person, it depends on the person, what type of person is the decision he makes. If he's got determination and his intention is strong, robust, and he's got belief in his decisions, confidence, then that light, maybe if it's amber, it will just go through, you know, with confidence. Person who's in a bit of suspense, not sure, no, the camera might catch me, might get checked out, and then he makes that decision in his mind, isn't it? Shall I leave or not leave or not? What happens then? Then from behind, a car's coming, and he needs to leave, and he gets a bit confused, and then the car from behind hits him because he's stalling. He's hesitating. So always an accident occurs due to some sort of reason where the person, one of them is confused. Should I turn here? Not turn here? Is this the way? Is this the path? The other person's driving faster. He has to make a decision. He couldn't make his mind up. Confused. And then he went forward, and the person who was faster from behind, he's coming according to his normal situation, and they have a clash. So in life, you have phases like this, that anything a person does in life, in which he's a little bit under suspense, not sure, confused, doesn't have belief in what he's doing, and there's no sort of trust in that process, then the end point, the conclusion is very different, and results come out. Person remains confused always, and then the conclusion of his work is always wrong. The conclusion of his life is also wrong. There are less results that come out. There come sort of wrong results, and he's always distressed, always sad. So our situation of deen, also this principle applies. Rather, we are more in this situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us iman, and we didn't go and do some big effort, and after a challenge did we acquire iman. We didn't lie down on rocks or hot sand, and our bodies weren't injured. We didn't go through tests to recite the kalima. We were just born Muslims, and we became Muslim. Automatically ask those people for iman, for faith. They attained it after the severities. They had to give sacrifices to acquire the iman, to attain this wealth and treasure of belief. Big difference. One is if you earn wealth with hard work, one is it automatically just falls in your lap. Big difference. And normally amongst young, rich people, their children, they complain about them. That this child, he just wastes the money. There's no need for it, and he just buys the car. Oh, he buys this item. Mother and father screaming. Why? Because that child, he doesn't have any awareness. He's just born into gold, into silver. Because if he had worked in a factory, was shoved around, if he worked in the snow and set up market stalls in the freezing cold, and he saved up the money, I used to see that there were rich people. When I used to do business, that where they used to do buying the stock and their children, they used to quarrel with them, the children. So I used to say to him that even now, you are cautious in spending your money. If he's spending, then must be, maybe you've got money in your treasure chest that he's spending your money. He said, the point isn't this. He said, the point is this, that in my back, I've got marks on my back. He said, there used to be snow here, freezing, and that the days that we arrived here, he said, the father. And he said, we used to get like a wheelbarrow, go to the houses and sell the sweaters, the jumpers. That was the start of our people. Even in Bolton, if you, the people are daif and weak, quite a few of them have passed away, and they got the illness. They had the factories, they used to work in them, the cotton factories, and in one room, 10 people used to sleep. Rather, I've heard on one bed, one used to go to work, the other used to sleep there. They used to rotate use of the bed. The people who made this Masjid Zakaria, and what we're looking at today, those people, they spent their lives like this, the poor souls. They strove. We don't even know. And after the generation that came, people who came after us, yeah, did they come with water, with the money? Did they earn they come born with money? So today we see big buildings and houses and assets have changed their names and the method and the cultures change and there's no hisab. So what do the children know now? So for him to spend, there's a difference. There were pennies they used to count, 2 pence they used to be, yeah. A tuppence, used to get a ticket to go in the bus. We used to go on the bus journey. I'm talking about my generation now. 2p used to get a bus ticket to go to town for 2p in Manchester. With 2 pence, that they'd keep 1/2p, and there used to be small pennies and then 1/2 pennies alongside that. So until today, if there's a person who's alive, then he lives according to that penny. You speak to him. He accounts based on the pennies. Was their value? Their value. They say, oh. And then that person, maybe he's a millionaire, but he says, I can't spend like that. Yes, how can we spend like that? And then how can I see then our children, they get an expensive car, then he has an accident and he's enjoying his life. He has no awareness of this. He's no awareness. We have the awareness that we know we worked hard and we bought this and we saved for this. Even today they make a fuss. Oh, I don't know why daddy's stingy. He doesn't take his money out of his pocket. I want to go, I do this, I do that. This is common statement. They don't bother, the kids, the young gentlemen. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? What does he know that daddy, his breath has run out and his back is broken and how he earned the money and he worked hard and all the phases he went through to save? So here, what's the reason? Because the person who values something and appreciates it, then really he knows what it is. So if you get something after hard work, then you value that. If you get something easily, there are, what's this? Yeah, you're sat here with ease. You're sat here with ease. Sheikh sat in front of you. Yes, and even Naqshbandi, yeah, and he sat there. And he's aware of all the ulum, all the knowledge, all degrees he's got in all of this knowledge, isn't it? So what is the issue for you? There's no hardship to attain this. I speak about myself now. That what about the people before me? How much they worked so hard. For me, this, I know what I had to do to get this. I had to spend my whole life to acquire this, to find my sheikh. Then I considered him as a sheikh, as a teacher. I considered my sheikh as the sheikh. I considered him as the deputy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the regard I had for him. Then all those to fulfill the condition of sohbat the sheikh, the company of the sheikh was the most important thing, the sohbat of the sheikh, to do that physically. And that was a time of poverty. There was no work. There was no work. It was hard. And there was a lot of burdens, financial burden. Who was going to run the shop? Tell me. Yes, what will I do? There's nobody to work at the shop. There's nobody to support. But the love of Allah was such that you have to fulfill the conditions of this path and to go and meet the sheikh and to do the ziyarat of the sheikh, then to arrive there, then to come back, then to go again. It's like a dream. Coming, going, and where are you going? Where's Hazrat Sahib? At that time, there was no phone, no letter. I don't know how I used to get the information of Hazrat Sahib. Where are they now? Where will he be now? Will he be in Medina? If I show you the letters of Hazrat Sahib, it's something to look at physically. Look at the communication lines that Hazrat Sahib wrote. I'm going Makkah. This point's coming between about struggle. Subhanallah. So I, Hazrat Sahab wrote, I thought, I can't ask to Hazrat Sahab, where are you going? When are you going? This is tertiary information. The Hazrat, the third source of information, that someone told me Hazrat Sahab was going on Umrah, Ramadan. I just got my goods together, my luggage. And Allah Ta'ala, Alhamdulillah, gave me the resources that never stopped me in this matter, the Sohbat the Sheikh, that I never stopped, never put the brakes on. I never thought that, where I'm going to eat from, where I'm going to wear from, shall I stop, or why should I go after the Sheikh? No, Alhamdulillah, until today, I can't even remember that I had any doubt on this. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So I just put my goods together, and they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going. They were quiet, the family. They said, okay, fine, go. Not they said, who are you leaving us with? It was Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Subhanallah. That Allah will give, we'll get some food, we'll get by somehow, Alhamdulillah. And then I used to leave. And it was not in my consciousness, my wife and children left here. They said themselves, that's fine, you go on the journey. Not, it wasn't that on a Sharia basis that when your home is satisfied and happy, you go. Obviously then will you go, isn't it? So they were satisfied, they were happy. Yes, the environment at home was satisfied, so I left, put my goods together and I left. So now, the first meeting with Hazrat Sahab in Haramain, mine, and I wasn't very aware of Haram Sharif. So when I arrived there, there was a lot of rush and Ramadan, lot of rush, lot of people, amazing love there was that time, eh? Crazy mad with love. And I wasn't worried about Umrah or Tawaf. I was only concerned that where's Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh? Ajeeb, unique feeling the person has at that time, the student. People are doing tawaf and worshipping. I'm telling you the truth here. That maybe you can say I'm wrong, you have the right to say that I'm wrong. But what can a person who's in love with the teacher, the ashik, the student, that's his feeling, that's his emotions. And even in Sharia, then he's weak. Yes? So there's that excuse there for that person. So I'm praying Salah, then I'm looking for Hazrat Sahib. Where's my Sheikh? Where can I find him? And that there's somebody said, Hazrat Sahib said that there's the pillar, the Turk pillar, I'll be sat near there. So who can I say that the Turk pillar, where they sit to the people, where's that pillar of the Turks? The Ottoman Empire. People said, the Ottoman Empire, they made that little sort of little castle. The fort, I said, they said, are you asking about that? I said, no, I just need that pillar, the Turk pillar. So that person took me from a certain door. And we're walking, the old sort of sector, it was like a fort, and it was an old castle, and the people used to be there, and it was a unique situation there, the people are there, and because the Turks, the Ottoman Empire, that era, so it was like on the top of a mound, a hill. He said, this is that place. And I'm looking around for Hazrat Sahib, Subhanallah. Yeah? A person, how stupid he becomes when he's looking in his love, he's lost in the love. So has any one of you done this struggle? Effort? No. That's why you can't even complete the sheets. There's a big difference of a person. Let me tell you that if you earn the wealth through effort and hard work, the child who's got money, he doesn't care. Hey, 15 pounds. Oh, give me this. Oh, give me this. Who's Jackie? How much is Jackie? Oh, that's fine. 100 pounds. That's fine. We'll buy it. Ask the father, 100 pounds. What's the value of 100 pounds? He earned it in that way. He made the effort. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? So this is that when you earn the deen through effort, you know, one of Allah's name, how can I leave the majlis? How can I leave the gathering? How can I leave this gathering? That of the person who's attained something through hard work, how can he waste it? That yes, I did tawbah, I went there. I made effort. My Hazrat Sahib, and you're bringing us up here, he's sitting down. Oh, Sahib, give him tawbah, and a person just tawbah. The same point is that I said at the beginning. The same point. But you got it in a different way, and I got it in a different way. We both got the same thing, but for yous and barakah, the blessings are totally the same. The asbab, the lessons, everything is the same. Hazrat Sahib taught me exactly the same, because what he taught me, that's what I will repeat to you and teach you. Yes, so I can't take a shortcut. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's a difference here. The difference is that somebody acquired it through hard work, and somebody just with ease in a hot room, sat on the lush carpet, drove through a Mercedes. Oh, Hazrat Sahib there. Oh, Hazrat Sahib, my son's with me. Give him bayah. He's a sinner. And then the Sheikh's given him bayah. He has no value. What is dhikr? What is the love of dhikr? And then Allah's watching as well, isn't it? Allah says, La yastawi, wal amal wal basir. Both people cannot be the same. One person is not the same as another person. One who doesn't struggle and make effort, and the other person makes an effort and struggle. How can it be they're the same? Allah says, there's no way they can be the same. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is the point that big ulama, scholars, alhamdulillah, with this lesson, with this kitab, with this latifa qalb, with this same dhikr, but mashallah, this enjoyment, your ease, luxury, sit in the car, oh, okay, we won't go today. Oh, we don't need to listen to Hazrat Sahib. After so much effort, can I not then obey my Shaykh's words? What he said to me, how could it be that I didn't obey his words? Could it be? And I'm looking for him. One day's passed, 2 days have passed, no food, drink, finished. I had no place to stay, just a bag on the road, on the path. And just on the road and the bag, just take the shoes out, chappal, we used to call it Hawaii chappal, and just put the pillow there, whatever you got, somewhere, a wall to lean against. We don't know what's a hotel, where are we staying, 5-star hotels, in front of the sheikh, this day, no, torn clothes we're wearing, old clothes, old sheets, fakir, simple making a fuss there. No, everything finishes there. Yes, the saying of Hazrat Thanvi something, don't make a fuss there when you get there. That your Allah is Jameel and we are Jameel. This is just a fuss. Hazrat Thanvi Sabrahmatullah used to say this. And there's no shame there. The people there, Master Allah, I used to meet them there. People of my status and level, I used to meet them. They used to laugh. What's happened to you? I said, oh, I'm just mad in love. I'm just doing my work of the deen. They said, come on, we'll take you to the hotel. Come on, we'll take you to the hotel. There was a Bhatti Sahib. May Allah Ta'ala elevate his status, very high status. And that was a unique story. Anyway. So, say tea, you have to stand in the line for tea. Imagine the enjoyment in that journey. And you go to a 5-star hotel and you eat the food at the bottom, do this and that. And that journey, I cannot forget the satisfaction and greatness of that simplicity. There used to be, take a bun, a dry piece of bread, dip it in the tea, and just have to stand in the line for a long time to get a cup of tea. 1 riyal, after that, alhamdulillah, the stomach's full, run straight to look at Hazrat Sahib, that's it. Just don't get late for that, end of story. So 3-4 days passed, Isha passed, I said, oh, I can't find Hazrat Sahib, I don't know where they are, end of story. Then straight I went to Multazam, I prayed Isha, and I stood there. And I said to Allah Ta'ala, Allah, I'm talking about the person who's in love. Don't look at Sharia now. No. I'm just aside from that. Yes, I'm just telling you this. It's come my heart, my mind. I'm sharing this with you. Hazrat Sahib, you did this guna. Don't say these things to me. Yeah? So I stood there. And in front of Muqtama, I said, Allah, that you know better everything, Allah. You know that I left everything and my situation I've come here in. I came to meet Hazrat Sahib, but I've met him yet. You know best. That I haven't come here for Ramadan, for Hajj. I came to do the ziyarah of my sheikh, to see my sheikh. Straightforward, you have to speak to Allah honestly. Yes, I didn't say that I present myself, I've become a Hajji, I've become to one pious. Allah said, you know I've not come here to do nothing. I'm not in that mood. Allah, that I drink zamzam, or do tawaf, or do sa'i, safa, or wear the haram and show people. I don't have that mood, Allah. I came not to see you, I came here, Allah, to meet your beloved. Hazrat Sahib, I came here to meet your wali. That's why I've come, I came here to meet him. So Allah, I'm going back now. I can't afford it. Yes, so much I've left behind. According to Sharia, I'm responsible. So tonight is my final night, Allah. And after Isha, if I don't find my beloved tonight, then I'm going back. What did I do? I did dua. I hadn't even moved 3 feet and Hazrat Sahib, he stood there in front of me. Subhanallah. With his hands raised in front of Rukn-e-Yamani. First, I wiped my hands, alhamdulillah. This is a story I'm telling you, my own personal experience. So at least make a bit of a move, effort. What could I do more than this? I could just look for, then I'm going to ask Allah for help and put my goods together. I said, Allah, I've done what I could. According to my capacity, it was your selection if you did not want me to meet Hazrat Sahib, that was your decision. Then I wiped my hands. Then I went close. And Hazrat Sahib said, Faruqi Sahab, many days you've taken to meet. Subhanallah. And then I screamed out and I cried. I'm telling you the honest truth. So much I cried. And Hazrat Sahib embraced me with their chest. This is the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's home. Rukn Yamani was sitting there. And we stood there. Hazrat Sahib was standing there. And the dunya is watching. Tawaf's happening. And two beloveds are embracing each other. This is a sheikh, so mashallah, a sheikh like this will give something then to his student, won't he? At least you have to make some hard work, and then nothing's gone. You don't lose nothing. Even today, I consider myself minus, minus. Nothing, totally zero. At the bottom, I think I'm finished. I'm not even the dust on your slippers. I'm nothing. There's nothing inside. I've done nothing. I didn't even please my sheikh. I didn't even work hard. I didn't make any effort. I didn't spend the time. I used to just come, was scared. There used to be sweat on my body. I'm just telling you regularly. And I used to suddenly get up. I used to get up then. And then I feel a bit anxious. You know, like a person who's ill. I've done nothing in my life. I get scared. So I embrace Hazrat Sahab. And Hazrat Sahab gave me love and affection. Khair, he said, everything's khair. He said, khair, it's okay, fine, no worries. And he patted my back, mashallah, and he took the passion from, and he calmed me down. And very affectionate. He was. I said, Hazrat Sahab, I'm looking for you. Hazrat Sahab, I told you that I'll be into that place. He said, I looked for Tarqeet Allah, I looked everywhere. Hazrat Sahab said, stupid person, you know the Ottoman Empire that made this extension of the Kaaba? They did this, didn't it, when they made the umbrellas and the porch and the pavilion. He said, this extension, that's where I sit. And this is called the Turkey extension. Yeah, we call it the Turkey, the Thalla, Hazrat Sahab said in Punjabi. That the Ottomans, when they extended it, that portion of the masjid, that's where I'll be sat. Next to Ruku, in front of Ruku Namini. Where were you looking for me? Khair, he said, don't worry, sit down. Then I sat down. We sat down a little while, Hazrat Sahib. Then he got up and walked, and I was along with him. And then I, subhanAllah, they were staying with the family. I kept on walking. I didn't leave Hazrat Sahib. I didn't leave their side. Just like a child when he sticks to his mother, when he's met a mother. So while we're walking, Hazrat Sahib's going to a place where his family was staying. And I'm going with them inside. Hazrat Sahib started laughing. He said, that's it. You can go now. You can leave. I said, I don't want to go. Hazrat Sahib said, my children are with me in the family. The children also staying with me. So in the morning I'll come, then you can meet me, inshallah. I said, okay, is it? Oh, after such a long time we've met, and then we're detached again. Then I sat on the pavement, I said, fine. All night long I just sat there, so I could meet Hazrat Sahib when they're leaving. And somebody asked me, when did you eat, when did you sleep, what did you wear, etc. No, not that I will get a sabak from Hazrat Sahib, not waiting for a lesson, or I'm going to get khilafat. Yes, I'm in Ramadan, I'm speaking of the prayer with you. I had no greed, no desire. I'll get a sabak, a lesson, I'll get khilafat, or piety, or status. Wallahi, I never thought about these things. Wallahi, I didn't think about these things. Just ishq, love in the name of Allah. Love in the name of Allah. This story is very unique to you, isn't it? Looks good, isn't it? Sounds good. So I sat there, and then Hazrat came 2:30 a.m. I said, Farooq Sahib, you still here? I said, yes. Hazrat, I couldn't go anywhere. I didn't want to go anywhere. Hazrat said, did you not find a place to live? I said, this is my place. That's it. There's no other place. Khair. I took Hazrat Sahib's honorable shoes, blessed shoes, his shoe sharif, and I used to have the sheet around me. And then I put his slippers, I embraced them to my chest. I pressed them to my, and I put them under my armpit. I said, come on, Hazrat Sahib. And then I put Hazrat Sahib's prayer mat out. This was my habit, keeping their slippers. That became my duty, alhamdulillah. So, khair, this is just a little splash I've just shared with you. Lots of time I spent with Hazrat Sahib, not just one journey. So what I'm trying to say is that nothing can get acquired without effort. The effort, when you get something through effort and hard work, then its effect is something else. Ask Hazrat Bilal radhiyallahu anhu, that what is the enjoyment of when you said ahad? The feeling when you were lying on the rock, on the hot sand, and they were pulling your arms and legs and stretching your skin, and you said ahad. Then what was your feeling and emotion at the time of saying ahad? That he had such enjoyment on every pain, that each pain example gave him joy and a good feeling. Because when you travel with your yar, I'm not telling you the first journey. When you go on the journey to meet the yar, the friend, there's no pain, there's no difficulty at all. This is just a minor example. Give you big journeys we went through, hardships, with no pain at all, no hardship, no mental anxiety that we're going to spend, where we're going to eat from, where we're going to wear from, we're going to buy the ticket from, when we'll get the next bus, how will I do this, how will I do that. No anxiety, no fear, no tension. Wallahi, I'm telling you about my life, that on this journey, when a person leaves on the journey, then the needs he has to fulfill them, a person, he just stands in front of Allah, between him and Allah, that's it. One, shall I share another story with you? Shall I share another story with you? At least you'll have belief in what I'm saying, isn't it? At least you'll be believing what I'm saying. So when I went on this journey to meet my yar, my friend, oh, long journey I went on. It was night time, and I had no transport. So I took a taxi. I had no money. So I said, I'll go in the taxi. And that was a unique journey. 14th night, moon was out. I sat in the taxi, and he put a nazam on, a nasheed on. And my feeling was great. I can just picture that scene now. So I don't even know what route is going. Where am I going? What shall I say to him? I didn't even know how to get there. The journey, where am I going? How will I get there? He said, where do you want to go? He said to me. I said, I want to go to this, in this city. I don't know where I need to go. So he saw that man. It was a very dark night, and the pavement, the road, it was dark. There was a man stand there with a light, and he came very close to that man, and he put the brakes on. And it's that person. He said, can I sit in the car? He said, who are you? He said, can I sit? He said, yes, sit down. He said, I need a lift just further up. If you need a lift. He said, that place was Abdal. He was the Abdal of that place. I'm telling you this now, this event. He was the Abdal, high level, and he came to receive me because I didn't know the route. He came to tell me that you have to go from this route to where you're going. Allahu Akbar. When that route came, then he got off and he just said, that did you have any pain, difficulty? He said, give my salam to your sheikh. He said, give my salam to your sheikh. He was a helper. So this is Allah Ta'ala's in Allah's path. At least start to travel, my friends. I always say this. We discussed this yesterday when we had the bayan. It wasn't about the discussions we had. In that discussion I said, that make your niyyah correct, align that I want to find Allah. Does this happen? Is this the way that we find Allah? The journey we're on? The way we practice? No. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu amanu billahi wa rasoolihi. Allah says in the Quran, O people of faith, come into faith. What is this second faith Allah is talking about? Huh? Tell me. First iman we've got belief. So why does Allah say that bring about iman? Amanu billahi wa rasuli and the kitab and the book. Allah says believe. Why? Because you are in suspense still. You're floating. You haven't come completely. Shall I go left here? Shall I go right here? Shall I go through the green line, amber line? You are in suspense. You're confused. You don't have belief in Allah. You don't have belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't have belief in this kitab still. Yeah, it's just a drama that you should practice what you stated from your tongue. And you're just running in front of the world. Rather, you haven't got that iman that you should have. I'm not saying this. Who is saying this? The Quran is saying this. That I read the Quran, this is what I understand from the Quran. When I read the Quran, I'll tell you, I'll share with you straightforward. Yes, there's no suspense, there's yaqeen, but we don't have that. We have suspense and no yaqeen. Why? Because if we had belief and faith, if Allah orders something, then how can you reject that faith, that order? Say subhanallah. How can you leave that order of Allah? Then how can you take shortcuts? The person, Allah is giving the hukum, and Allah is ordering us to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can you deny that? You would put on your top of your eyelids if you had yaqeen that I am for, that for example, if you want to, you're determined to go through the green light, amber light, you'll pass through that, whether you go or not, whether it's accident, you'll drive through that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You'll have determination. So a person who is in suspense or confused, then he can't do the right action. Never with conviction. So us people, we don't come fully into iman. Haram is lawful, unlawful is jais, jais is unlawful. We do everything according to our desires. We want to practice according to our desires. We don't want to take guidance, then we are in suspense. We put Allah to one side, we put Rasulullah to one side, and we just put the generation in front of us, the era we're living in. So how, what are people doing, or will do the same? What is the culture in this generation? We will also need to meet people, and this haram is made halal, and we also consider it halal, and we start practicing that. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. So we just follow our lives according to the culture and traditions. We don't know what is the order of the Quran here. What is the order of Rasulullah? What is the order of the Sharia here? What is the kitab saying? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu billahi wa rasulihi wa kitabi. Allah is saying clearly that if you've got iman, belief complete, and it's correct, then you would believe and accept every word of Allah's. If Allah has said this, and if you got belief in Allah, who is Allah? Subhanallah, if you believe in Allah, that what is Allah? Who is He, Allah? Who is Allah if you believe in Him? You've got iman, isn't it? That you need to recognize who is Allah. Allah Ta'ala is saying next. That the difficulty comes upon you issues arise, someone becomes sick at home, a daughter is sick, son is sick, mother, father is sick, or maybe you're poor, poverty, what will you do? You'll ask money from people, give me a loan, my children are sick, I need to go to the doctor, give the fees. This is what we do, isn't it? I need to get him a cure, so you'll ask money, take a loan. If you're rich, then you'll open your account, your balance, your treasures. My son is ill, my daughter's ill, I'm millionaire, go to this doctor, this consultant, a priority treatment, higher level treatment. So why don't you think then, if you've got iman, that masabukum masibatan, Allah says, bi'idhnillah, that this difficulty that's come, this difficulty that's come, this issue that's come, who has sent this? Allah has sent this. Allah has sent the problems. Whoever's got this belief that everything is from Allah, where will he go? Say it. He will go to? Or will he ask for people for money as a poor man? If he's rich, he'll open his treasure chest. He'll go to Allah. He'll turn to Allah. He'll say, Allah Ta'ala, this thing that you have done, this can be one reason that I'm in suspense and confusion. And what action will he do? He will forget everything. Rather, he will start looking himself. He'll cry and say, it's due to me. The friends of Allah, their yaqeen is so great on their Rabb that it's due to my wretchedness. You said in the Quran, Ma Asaba, that Allah, if your car's not starting, it's me who's not allowing your car to start and I'm keeping you back. There was one person who said, he said, that I feel like today that you make halwa for me and bring this and make halwa. He said, okay, I'll make halwa. He said this to his wife. Look, a true story here. The difference, those who earn the deen through struggle and those who just easy, they become khulafa, you've got khilafat, you are khalifa as well, honorary. Here, you know, the khilafat are just distributed, don't know what is khanka, how to sit there, what to do there, what is mujahida, what is struggle, what is hunger, poverty, they sat there, darulum, they've got the khilafat, honorary, and they've got tens of thousands of marids just enjoying themselves. Subhanallah, go to such a sheikh who has done mujahidat, struggled, who really has learned this subject properly with struggle. But well, we want a sheikh like this, high level status, titles, people respect him, so that we get respected. Oh, I'm his murid. That person, oh, you know, to alim, scholar. Oh, go to another sheikh. He's a big shah, he's got madrasas, big titles. And those who get bayah with miskins, people like me, then always there's suspense, confusion. He doesn't have iman. Oh, is he the right sheikh? Oh, shall I go to another teacher? Big sheikh with big titles, famous sheikh. People are going there, people joke against me. He's always in suspense, confusion during his life. Oh, I came to the wrong place. Yes, so he can't, if a person in suspense can't get through the traffic light, then how will he travel on this path? Am I right tomorrow? He doesn't even know that this sheikh, is he right or wrong? Shall I believe in him? Shall I have faith in him? He lives the life of confusion and doubt and suspense. This is the verse of the Quran. Read this verse. So never a person who is in confusion senses be successful. He said to his wife, that please make for me halwa. And she was starting to cook. And while she was cooking, she cut her hand. And he said, he put the bandage. You know a person cuts the hand whilst working, isn't it? A person cut the hand. Yeah, cutting the onions or making prepping food. So when she cut her hand, then nothing happened to her. And he fell unconscious, the man. And she said, what's happened to you that it's my finger that's cut? He said, I asked you to do this work. And my nafs told you to do this, that I want to eat this food. So due to me, you were doing this. And this punishment you got due to myself, that this definitely, the reason for this is that it's my wretchedness, that I, due to me, you got this punishment. So please, this is the night I have to ask Allah for forgiveness, that I will eat or drink. And he went into such the whole night long and he did dua, that Allah, what have I done? That will you believe this event? Because he had iman with effort and struggle. Everything, behind everything, there's a reason. That my Rabb is unhappy with me and this is happening. Ma sabakum, that there's a distress, difficulty, child is sick. And these things, he won't get the solution. Your wealth, your money won't give a solution. Who is it who will give the solution? Allah will give the solution. That you don't have the connection with Allah. You don't have the connection with Allah. The Kaaba, embracing the Kaaba won't give you iman. You don't get iman like this. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wabtaghu ilayhi wasila. Allah says, what does Allah say? Allah says that if you want iman, what should you do? Then wabtaghu ilayhi wasila wajadu fi sabilillahi la'allakum tuflihun. Subhanallah. Tell me, what a great statement. Allah says, you don't get the deen like this. Automatically you seek it, find it, make effort. Who is saying this? Who is saying the Rabb is kalam? I'm not saying this. Allah's kalam. How should you find? Just like I told you how I found the guidance. The go, you know, Tarkiz Talla, the extension, go there, barefoot. My feet were cut, there was blood coming out of the cracks. Yes, I didn't have chappal, shoes to wear. What was I looking for? Was I looking for money, wealth? I had left the wealth and gone there. The Christmas season, I'd left my shop to go there. People are setting up the stall shops and earning in the Christmas, December. And I'm looking at the turkey extension with the cracked feet, looking for the wali Allah. Can you imagine what I'm saying? Yes. So from there, you don't have programs, Christmas season, December, I've got to earn. Our program schedule used to be according to Hazar Sahib's direction. Not on our shops. Christmas is coming, December, I'll earn money, big money, then when the tickets get cheap, then I'll go and meet Hazar Sahib. When this happens, I'll do this. No, where will you get Allah like this? Ittaqullah. To get ittaqullah, how do you get this? Wabtaqu ilayhi wasilata wajadu fi sabilihi. Struggle. You don't understand what I'm saying? So is this coming into your brains, what I'm saying? There are two paths. One is through hard work, effort you earn, whether it's the world or the hereafter. And the other is easy, automatic. There's a big difference in the two. Big difference. Massive difference between the two. Yes, that when you run and you work hard using your hands and your arms and your earning, well, who's the other person who just gets it automatic in his lap? He doesn't know. Iman, brothers, is not easy. Iman is not easy. It's not an easy asset. We've just recited the kalma. Iman is that Allah says, those who believed in Allah, who brought Iman in Allah. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you imagine the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if he said something to a sahabi, that he would reject it? He would deny one sahabi is walking in the path. The other sahaba is coming. Come and he's got a big mound of sticks on his head and his clothes are torn. And the other sahabi asks him, the other companion, where are you coming from? He said, I'm coming from the Holy Prophet's company. He put his sticks down on the ground. He said, MashaAllah, big companion for Tuli's name, not a small companion. He said, where are you coming from? He said, from the Holy Prophet's court. And he put the sticks down on the floor. He said, oh, did the Prophet say something today? Did Hazrat say something today? SubhanAllah, these are hadith. These became hadith, these sentences. He said, yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, what did he say? What was his guidance? Said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever's clothes are below his ankles will go, that portion will go into hell. It will burn in Jahannam. He said that. He immediately took his goods off his head and he put all the sticks down the wood. He had a torn dhoti and he tore it from underneath the ankles. He tore it. Already was torn, he tore it again, then he put it on. The other sahabi said to him, the companion, at least you could have gone home, waited, and you did all of this action here. He said, can you give me guarantee that I will be alive until I get home? Can you guarantee me? Who is this? This is Iman. That how can you dare that the Holy Prophet has said something to you, you've heard it, and after that you say that you will go with Iman if you reject him? Huh? And the angel, will you give the answer when he comes to take your life? Who is this insan? Did you believe in the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ when the angel asked you at death? Can you answer then that one order came to you, you delayed in responding, I delayed in practicing? No, I didn't say that, I don't believe in it. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتٍ أُولَكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. The Quran is reading, Allah puts the verses in my mind and heart and I share them with you. The one Hafiz, when I used to read, they used to come in the bayan. He said, Hazrat, and he was blind. He said, Hazrat, you look like you are Hafiz, but it looks like Hafiz is forgotten. But you are Hafiz, but it looks like you've forgotten, and you just get stuck somewhere. He used to say to me, when I used to read. He said, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ. Those people that these verses, that they are one of those who reject, وَكَذَّبُوا, and one of those who deny, أُولَكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. It's not a minor Jahannam. What's Allah talking about? Jahim. Allah says, my Nabi's order comes to you, my Prophet orders you, and I hear it. And you are saying to me that go home and then practice. Can you give me a guarantee that I would have arrived home? Am I that mad that I bargain my Iman away? And look at us now. Now let's look at ourselves. Let's compare to ourselves. Our Iman. How much of the Holy Prophet's words do we obey? Qasam, beg and ask. No, we don't want to ask. Ramadan comes, Hajj comes, Zakat, Kaaba, Tawaf, drink Zamzam, eat the dates, go around Tawaf, go to Medina, do all of things. Still the same. We don't want to obey the Prophet. We still want to obey what our nafs, our desires say. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Compare. So brothers, this is Islahi, mashallah, majlis gathering of improvement. This is not a speech that I am also included with you. We have come here to do our Islah. This is Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala is, may He make us human beings. So this is the biggest thing, that what does Ramadan make us practice? What does it tell us to do? Tell me. What practice is it asking us to do? This Ramadan that's been given to us, the biggest practice it's making us to do is that it's making us practice Iman, the second Iman, so that we can have belief in Allah and His Rasul and the Kitab, so we learn to believe it. This is what Ramadan is making us practice. Nothing else. Nothing else apart from this. The Salah is the same, our face is the same, Taraweeh, Salah is the same, everything is the same physically, what we're doing, Quran is the same, Masjid is the same, everything is the same. But one new thing Allah Ta'ala has instilled in this. What is that? A new thing Allah has added in this, in our normal routine of Allah has added the fast. And the fast, all of the philosophy of fast goes on what? Goes on Iman, faith. Yes, do you understand now what is Ramadan? The whole philosophy, focus, attention of the fast goes on what? Iman. Which Iman? That Iman, the real Iman that Allah Ta'ala says, the me and you that we need to have. Yes, because now Allah Ta'ala is making us exercise, practice. Because Allah, the first 10 days is Rahmah. So Allah's pushing us, shoving us, we're doing everything. It doesn't happen normally. Allah's making us practice, enabling us. So Allah's added what now? Fast. And the fast directly is connected to our Iman, our belief. And Iman is what? Have Iman, does he believe in Allah or not? Bil ghaib. This fast is making us practice this. Why? How is it making us practice? That, he says, the do suhoor, sehri. Okay, fine, I'll do that. Don't eat, just drink water or eat a date. Okay, I've done sehri. This is the time, that's it. Stop eating, drinking. Okay, we've left it. Now, don't do nothing now. Nothing at all. These things you can't do during the fast. Go. Allah gives us direction. Why don't we do it? Who's watching us? Who's watching us? Who's watching us? We can do it. Yes? If someone comes to you, hey, yaar. Oh, very nice mango juice. I've made it myself. And you're hungry, thirsty, extremely thirsty. And it's cool, a mango juice. Hey, drink it. Will you drink it? No. Why? Because here, what does this create you? Allah Ta'ala assists you, helps you. What does He create it, developed? Subhanallah, wa ma kum bainakum. That He is watching me, I can't do this. Allah is watching me. So here, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Ramadan, He's helping us, assisting us, that our feelings, emotions, He's developed these feelings and emotions, this passion. Yes, Allah's developed this passion, this strength of feeling, that we have arrived to that level, that we've got yaqeen, Allah is there. We've got yaqeen. We've got the belief that Allah is present. So Allah's brought us to this level. So due to this yaqeen, me and you, we don't break the fast. And the whole caution, we're careful from morning till evening, that may I not do any action that breaks my fast. Eat on my own, drink on my own, do I want? If by mistake we make a mistake, then we ask the masala, though, have I made a problem? Or have I broken my fast? What shall I do now? We're so careful. Where did this cautious come? Approach come? How did these feelings come into you? That you're so scared now and you're aware of Allah now. There's so much awareness of Allah has been developed. Where did this come from? Because Allah has made us exercise and practice. So what's the message? That your iman should be like this with Allah. Your belief should be like this with Allah. That when you are about to disobey Him, when you sit down what He told you to prohibit you to do, and you do that, and you're not doing what Allah has prohibited you to do, then your hal should be the same, just like you were feeling during the fast. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what is a fast now? Do you understand Ramadan? And that suspense, those who are confused, then their fast is like the kids, like the children keep the fast. If a child keeps a fast, what does he do? I'll give the example. I've just heard this and I saw this as well. The child came to study in the madrasa. So they're saying that we're fasting. He said, yes, I've got fast as well. Yeah, I'm fasting, for sure. And then you asked him, what was your fast? You fast as well, little kid, 4 years old, maybe 5 years old. Yeah, he said, I did. I fasted. He said, I said, how did you fast then? He said that I didn't eat anything. I just, jacket potato I had to eat. That's okay. That's not a food. I didn't eat any food, he said. Just a jacket potato. I've just eaten that, but I fasted though, despite that. You understand what I'm saying? So our iman is like this. Yeah, I've just left salah, but I'm still a Muslim. I only took interest, sood, but I'm a Muslim. Riba, do you understand the comparison? Is this a good example? Subhanallah. Have you ever had iman like this? That our fast is like this, that we are so careful. But the child fast is what? That he has this much connection with Allah, isn't it? That, no, I've only eaten a little bit. I've only had the banana. And little child, she said, that I had a banana. I said, but I'm fasting because my older sister's got a fast. I'm fasting as well. Because the main food, I've never eaten proper food that you're going to have in the evening. She said, when they eat, then I'll eat, break the fast. This is just a banana. It's just a small thing. This doesn't break the fast. We're children. So we the same. Oh, I only came to this country. Doesn't make a difference if we do a sin. I only took my parda off in this country. Everyone's the same. I only shaved my beard. Cut the beard. Doesn't make a difference. I can't get a job. I only got this libas on. It doesn't make any difference. Does it? Wear the libas. We wear that. Why? Because we don't have yaqeen that the libas, they can, oh, it's okay. It's fine. Allah is ghafoor raheem. Rasulullah salam is ghafoor raheem. That sahabi gave his life. He said, is it? He tore the clothes under the ankle. What is this? This was iman that enables a person to do this. Say subhanallah. Who is making us do this? Our iman makes us do this. A person, the people who live in this hal, then understand they are devoid of iman. They are in suspense, confusion. They can never progress. Who is he deceiving? He's deceiving himself. He's deceiving himself. If Allah has given you iman, He gave you kalima through your father, He made you a Muslim, you didn't work hard, by chance, automatically you have a name, and you valued iman like this, that at least that iman you should come to, that Allah and His Rasul salam have told us, and we should follow that, practice that. Rizq here, you didn't get it, oh I'll go to America, I'll get rizq more, I'll go to Pakistan, other countries, I'll get more wealth, I'll get more wealth. With me it happened that the rizq, my eating food, even that reduced when I came here. Even that reduced. That was a test. When I went from Pakistan and I came here, then you can consider, I, mashallah, I'm a son of a millionaire. I've got assets that I've left. Wallahi, I'm telling you, millionaire. My parents, my forefathers, all the assets, the lands. I don't even ask my brothers, what have you got now? Where's all this? Where's the property? I don't ask nothing. I left all of that behind. The place where you've transferred to, it's not guaranteed that you'll become rich there when you travel there. It's not guaranteed. It's not the case. Yes, what is the guaranteed? That iman, if you develop that, then you'll become rich. Increase your iman. All life long, that we sell our iman, I want to become rich, I want my life to be easy. Then what do we say? Do we look towards our wife and children? Oh my son, I'll give him a car, I'll give him a personal registration plate. We're so happy we give a child a registration plate with his name. We're so happy. We don't know how we earned that, with what iman we sold to get to this state. What does the child know? That this is the tarbiyat we're giving to the children. We're spoiling them. This is the tarbiyat the mother and father give to the children. Say subhanallah. Yes, and what is the iman? Hafiz, make him a hafiz. So they can say amongst children, oh my puttari son, he's a hafiz, alim, scholar. With iman, you give in deception. I'm fasting. I'm keeping the fast. Are you a hafiz? Where's your salah? You're alim, scholar. Where's your amal, your practice? The amount of punishment and hereafter, the alim, scholar and hafiz don't practice. You cannot imagine they will get, Allah Ta'ala will take the breath out of those people. That if you tell them the hadith, that you just keep reciting kalima and you hafiz, you will go to the heights. These are the hadith we're sharing with them. You alim, scholar, you go to the heights. So many slippers, those people, the alim, scholar and the hafiz who don't practice, so many slippers will come on them. Those people, the qaris, that you cannot imagine. And Sufis as well. And the pious elders as well. How can this be? That anyone who doesn't practice, Hazrat Sahib is not practicing, Peer Sahib is not practicing, a person who doesn't practice will not succeed. He will not succeed. This designation to show the people of the world, because we don't have iman. We're just stuck on amanu, just the children's iman. You know, like the child that fast. We're stuck there. Because they haven't recognized Allah fully yet. Yes, Allah's not watching. It's okay, I can eat it. I'm just having a banana. They don't have that full feeling, is it? Where it's the same. We are the same. So Ramadan, first sabak of Ramadan, what has it taught us? That it's teaching us via the fast. Do you understand the philosophy of fasting now? That at least bring your iman and make your iman strong through this. That what my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told me to do, I should follow that. Where my Rasul has told me to leave, I should leave that action. Every single thing is sadaqat, honesty, sincerity. That's it. This is enough for me. That's it. Qala qala Rasulullah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, end of story. That's enough for me. After that, you look at loss in the dunya. There's no loss in the dunya. وَلَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. Rasulullah said in advance that whatever those people of real proper iman, who have solid iman, then they will not be scared, anxious due to the test. If due to the iman they get hunger, poverty, no food, no drink, and their life struggling, they will never be scared of that fact. Never be scared. They will protect their iman. They'll be happy and they'll give them. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. So they'll be happy and embrace it with happiness, the hardship. When they go, they transfer somewhere, another place where they live, wherever they get their rizq, wherever they're living, they say, Allah, if you've sent me here, if I just get 2 pieces of dry bread, but my iman is strong, then in that place, they will never go to that place where there's danger to the iman. They will send curse upon that place. Iman, wherever I get iman, there's danger of iman, what shall I do? Go there. No, my iman is strong here. And this, and they listen that my wife and my children, easily my daughter will become hafisa, and she will go there to become doctor and engineer, you'll become this and that. We go along with society. I'm not attacking anybody personally. You know me, this is my habit. I'm not personally attacking anyone. At the time of Islam, I speak the truth. I have no criticism of anyone, I don't mock anyone, joking, I don't do that. That we're all sinful. But as long as the injection of understanding doesn't come, we won't understand. In the life, we have to open the pages of life, my friends, and discuss openly. They were just running around, lost in the dark. I've come to England, I have to do this and that. Tomorrow you'll find when your envelopes, when your wife and children grow up here, the children, they run around with people who are not on the deen, and they play games, and they stand and say, we're not Muslims, we don't bring iman. Then you'll understand, putar, about the pound, what's the value of the pound? My son, that for iman you sold for which pound? You're coming from here, from Karachi, from Surat, from other countries, running here, begging, we're selling everything to get here. Let's arrive here at least. Yes? Give up our life. And those flowers, when they grow up, you see with your eyes that how they haven't got belief. Yes, these fitnas are increasing. Who you had so much passion and love, you came with that, come to paradise. And when they go and they're taught things, subhanAllah, the things they're taught, but they hide them. They hide them so much. Even recently, a doctor phoned me recently. And this point, if I say this to you, you won't take it badly if I say it to you. You won't take it badly, but those people listening, maybe they will take it badly. Yes, but I won't stop in saying this. What is in the dunya, the condition of the world? Why are there difficulties on our heads today? Why are we struggling? What struggles? One Arab country where there's a clash taking place, from there a wounded person was sent. First, no, all countries refuse that we have no connection with this place. You're listening to what I'm saying? We don't want that person who's wounded from it. But by chance, one country took the sick people. They had some courage. They took the wounded. And from there, the wounded people, they were imported to the country. We're just easily. This is the trail, my friends. Tomorrow, just imagine this. That this ease and luxury, the way this is not luxury and ease. Water is very close, the water. Very close. And just like this, Allah Ta'ala slowly explains through examples to people. From that country, when he went to that country, the wounded person, there was announced, there's any doctor, they announced that who free of charge can give him time to give him the solution and cure, free. And we can't spend time, they said, our doctors at this moment in time. We've taken these wounded people, but we can't do it free. You listen to what I'm saying? There was no doctor who moved. No doctor of that country moved to help from that country, from the Arab country. Eventually, one darveshi got up. He said, I will help, I will assist. He said, 8 hours, do there, no other time. That when I call you, we'll call you. He said, I accept that. I accept that, he said. He said, I accept that. So there are people like this in the dunya, aren't they? He said, accept. He said, with difficulty from the society, 2 doctors came out. They were darvesh, God-fearing, Allah-fearing. So he said that I went. He said, I cannot explain the scene to you, that the wounded people I saw who were saved, the children that I saw, the women that I saw, we're just hearing this at the moment. We're just hearing this, isn't it? He said, I saw it with my eyes. He said, I can't tell you the words, I can't share with you the words that when he told me in the words what he said to me, the scene he saw, the way he was telling me. Two small, small children, wounded. He said, they're calling, someone's shrieking out to his mother, father, no one's there, they're shaking, someone's got no leg, no one's got a mouth, no one's not got an eye, where they sat. He said, this. Ma sabukum, why did this come? Tell me. Why has this happened? Ask your iman, let's ask our Quran. That openly you are saying bad to your Rabb, you deny. Every order of Allah's you reject, you deny. And you are proud of this, that your children, you have sent them to that direction. And you criticize those people, who even if they do practice, and you make a joke out of them. So tell me, Allah, does Allah not have a law? Does the Quran not tell us? Allah says, I never do zulm, I never oppress anybody. And this is sunnah ilahi. Allah says, I never send zulm oppression on any human being. Never do I do zulm on anybody. Allah. We ourselves oppress and do injustice on ourselves. We do zulm on ourselves. But what is it? Even now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who are far, Allah is showing the sign, the ayat are coming from Allah, the verses, وَالَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا كَذَّبُوا. That though, if you reject, that's on one side, but وَكَذَّبُوا, that individual who took the Quran and he's rejecting it afterwards. Allah says, I'm Rabb, I am Shadidul Iqab. And then you are seeing this now, you are hearing this now. Who can dare to even touch a finger on anyone? Everything happens with whose hukum? Order? Whose order? Whose hukum? Who enables everything to take place? Allah. But we, our iman, they don't shake. Why is this? Because iman of a person, when it goes out of his hand, then he becomes, in the world he's lost, in the hereafter he's wretched and cursed. One mu'min is glorious when he has iman, la ilaha illallah, he recites the whole life long, he has to give protection to what? To this la, that I will protect my iman, I won't let it get affected. Why? Because the Quran says to save your iman, whether your life goes, mal goes, wealth goes, ulad goes. Then the example is not small example, that from the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gave the example in the society. The Sahabi are saying to Imam Hussein, that look, oh, it will be a very bad situation. He said, doesn't matter, because I will give the answer in the hereafter. I am the person who has to give the answer. So he made that history become alive, the deen. And one is the person that Allah Ta'ala, for the whole ummah, he presents someone as an example. Is this not the case? Yes, so my brothers, my children, we sat in luxury, easy life, we don't know. Our iman is like the child who had the banana while fasting, broke the fast with the banana. We have kept those fasts today. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So I'm just speaking what the Quran says, Quran and Hadith run to you. So the khawf, fear, Allah Ta'ala's fear, ya ayyuha ladheena amnuttaqullah, develop fear, O people of iman, develop fear, you've got iman, develop fear. That's so fear in your Rabb, in his orders should come just like the Sahaba did. The Hadith, you've got a lot of desire to read Hadith, to read Bukhari, to do Khatam of Bukhari, you enjoy that. Yes? And then he recites the final hadith. And this is also a game. I'm not saying this. Mufti Taqi Sahib is saying this. That this is a new drama. Big mistake. And he doesn't go now. Everything we make a tradition. And like a culture. A tradition. Even this people to make their names great. Oh, Khatam of this. Khatam of this. Come to this. He said, I've stopped going now. Khatam Bukhari. He says, it's become an innovation. Yeah, that has become an innovation. And who says this? That, mashallah. He said that the others know better. That we... He said that people aren't aware of what the mistake they're making. Bukhari came to teach us amal, to practice. Sahih Bukhari, Imam Bukhari, he wrote the hadith kitab, kitab al-abbas, the book of clothing, the book of this action, that action. How did he split these into chapters? That practice these hadith in your life. That's the objective. Why did he come with this hadith kitab? The first hadith, Imam Bukhari, what did he write in his kitab? The first hadith, what was that? About Iman, the first hadith is the hadith on Iman. What's that hadith? It's not in my mind. Say please, Mawlana Sahib. What's that hadith? Innama, the all actions according to the intentions. So why did he select this hadith? Khair, mashallah, it was selected by Allah that you will give the message to everyone like this. What was the first selection of hadith was what? That based on the niyyah, the intention about Iman, faith. What is niyyah? Niyyah equals Iman. Intention equals faith. And then at the end, the kitab was sealed with which hadith at the end? What hadith? Kalma? Thane, yes. What is the kalima? What is faith? The decree of faith. Yeah, the weight of the iman, the weight of the kalima, that is very light in recitation, but very heavy in the weight, in its impact. Very heavy in its weight. Allah Ta'ala loves thee so much. So look at the difference. So this iman, to attain it, your iman should be such that if you want to read Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari, and where will this iman come? When you do the zikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. And in between Bukhari, all the hadith are in between. Is this case or not? Tell me. Yes, this is what I have seen. The first and the end is what? That you need to do what? The beginning what you need to do, and the end is the cure. Do the zikr of Allah. So this was the passion of Imam Bukhari, sir. And this is what the Quran says. Ya ayyuhalladhina taqullaha, O people of Iman, wabtaghu wasila wajadu fi sabilihi. That to increase Iman, go to a person who already has that Iman. Seek that person's guidance. They are there. Yes, so we've got Iman, a bit of taste, but you won't get forgiveness with this Iman. What will happen? What's happening around us now? What will happen that with this Iman, today's happening there and it's increasing? Tell me, remember this. Remember what I'm telling you. Remember this. This is increasing, spreading very soon, very soon. Remember this. Very soon. This is Iman. Then where will we go when it will start here as well? Yeah, we've come here to earn money. After that, where will we go? Yes, run after them. Then the doors will shut. Then what will we say? Oh, we're stuck here. We come here, we're stuck. Where have we got stuck? We were better there. Pakistan was better. The words will come from the mouth. Remember this word I'm telling you. Your zameer, your consciousness will say that we were okay, we were fine. Where have we come and got stuck? I don't know what shaitan game he played with us. Very soon. First, Iman will tell us that with this Iman that we are alive with now, this is the hal of that Iman. Allah says this. There's no other point. And wherever these people of Iman are, whichever portion they're in, Allah says, then this will be their treatment eventually. This is how we'll treat them. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But the first drop of rain, when the land is dry, then when from the heavens, the sky, the rain says, which drop will go first on this barren land? He said, what shall I do here on my own? This land is dry, it's barren. It's not fertile. What's the point of me dropping on there? I'll just get diverted, deflected. So behind it, the raindrop says, I'll give you encouragement. You drop on there. I'm with you as well. I'm helping you. Yeah, I'll give you example. Beautiful examples. Eh? Yeah, so that raindrop, the second one pushes it. You go, I'll come with you. And the third one, come, third one. That same place that was barren, dry. The first drops that came. After that, the flood comes. The flood, fertility. Yes, we just not know today, a few days ago, I swear by Allah, if we, this group swears by Allah and we're sat in Ramadan, that we will change our iman. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, his statement, I told you yesterday, the one person whose iman becomes strong, subhanallah, he becomes so strong, his iman, that the whole dunya, he can improve them, he can reform them. And mashallah, you are all a complete group. Nobody will say to you, do something. No, you don't need to do nothing. You don't need to give anyone pain or hardship, say anything bad to anyone. Don't quarrel with anybody. Don't need to fight or quarrel anyone, a clash. This is all people of drama who do this. Those who don't have iman. The people of iman, you need to improve your own iman. Why are you fighting with other people? Quarreling with other people? Why do you go and drop their churches and say bad about their lifestyle? Why do you criticize them? Let them do what they're doing. وَالَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا Allah says, leave them, those who have rejected. The point is this, that those who have awareness, who know, and they reject the verses. Yeah, they reject the verses, deny the verses. Amongst us. All of this deception, empty claims to make yourself famous, you start throwing bombs on others, killing other people, these are terrorist people. But those people who want to elevate their iman, they don't care about other people, they just worry about their own iman, their own faith, and elevate that. Wow. And the achievement is this, that make your iman strong and demonstrate to those people. Those people you say they are disbelievers, give them benefit with your iman. Give them benefit with your belief. Give them dawah. Come, listen to us what we're saying. That you rejected us for nothing. Alhamdulillah, one person is enough for the whole of society. The whole of society. And if his iman is great, you don't change people through bombs and missiles and guns and killing people and fighting with people or blowing up buildings. No, you have to improve your iman. Then you can improve a whole city of people. So do you make your iman correct through Ramadan? There's still beautiful points were to come. And what time is iftar today, my friends? What time is iftar? Oh, every day I get you late, isn't it, for iftari? Okay, fine. 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Let's say Allah's name. Then we'll speak tomorrow, inshallah, if we stay alive. Recite Durood Sharif.
اللهم نعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال فتنة المحيا الموت فتنة كل فتنة من كل بطن صلى الله حبيبي محمد برحمتك يا رب نعم.